रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. Ayodhikan chapter number 33. Our place is with our beloved Rama. The recitation begins now. Rama, Lakshmana and Sita bestowed their vast wealth upon the Brahmanas out of a full heart and proceeded to take leave of their king. Their bows and arrows, swords and other weapons had a glorious look, adorned with the garlands and sandalwood paste by Sita's fair hands. As they passed along the royal road, the citizens gazed at Rama with tear-stained faces and a heavy heart from the storied house, mansion, palace, tower, balcony, and portico. The streets were densely packed with a mournful throng. The beloved was proceeding on foot like any common hind, bereft of umbrella, chamra, chariots, and retinue, or any insignia of royalty. It was not in human nature to behold it and live. They broke forth in loud laments and dreadful groans and muttered curses. Alas, countless hosts of ocean sand, man, horse, foot, chariot and elephant were wont to follow Rama in glittering array, and today none other than Lakshmana and Sita to go with him. Rama laid up untold wealth, and out of a liberal heart he gave it all away to the poor, the needy and the deserving. He ever fulfilled the hopes and wishes of those that clung to him, and holding it as his rule of life to serve with utter faithfulness the parents that bore him and carry out their behests, the lightest, he would not dream of falsifying the word made by his father. The denizens of the sky had scarce any glimpse of Sita's soft and fair form. The very winds of heaven would not visit her face too roughly. And now she walks along the rough road, unsheltered, open to the gaze of the passerby, rain, hail, dew and frost and sun and wind. What sad havoc would they not play with her gently nurtured body, artistically adorned and tinted with saffron, alakta and red sandal paste? When they go to bid farewell to Dasharatha, the good genius of the old king will doubtless assert its sway and make him say, "You shall not go into exile." He would not have the heart to banish Rama to the woods, the dearest of his four valiant sons. There is no man so utterly and hopelessly wicked as to drive away from his hearth and home the son of his loins, be he the owner of one virtue linked to a thousand crimes. Then it is impossible even to conceive of anyone proposing to Rama to bury himself in the forest depths, the ideal prince who steals away the hearts of every object in creation by his countless graces of mind and heart. Harmlessness to all, compassion, self-restraint, self-reverence, profound learning, and perfect practice. These six excellences deem themselves honored in being allowed to associate with him. The burning summer scorches and shrivels the poor things to whom water is life. Even so, the faint cloud that ruffles the calm heart of Rama, or the slightest shadow of grief and misery that darkened his bright soul, reacts on the people in unspeakable calamity and ruin. As a stately monarch of the forest world dries up and fades with its fruits and flowers if its roots are cruelly severed, the whole universe is afflicted with the affliction of Rama. For the radiant and righteous prince is the root of all beings, and they form the fruits, the flowers, the leaves of the tree of being. Like the faithful Lakshmana, we will follow Rama wherever he leads us. We, our wives, children, kith and kin, house and field, garden and cottage, we shall leave and follow Rama of perfect equanimity in joy and sorrow. We will take away with us our buried wealth, corn, ornaments, horse and kine. The ruined courts, the broken doors and the moldering walls will form a fit background to the bare seats thick with dust, the ant hills and the haunts of the mischievous rat and the cobra of fatal beauty. Hall and court, chamber and shrine, portico and terrace will serve as the busy promenade of the beasts of the field and the fowl of the air. not a hand to lay the dust or sweep the floor, chant or charm, offering or incense, bright lamps or tuneful bells, with noble grace or hapless tenements. The household gods will flee the spot, as when plague or famine stalks through the land, marking its path with ruined cities and decaying corpses. Town and hamlet are abandoned in haste by the affrighted people. This fair Ayodhya will be a howling wilderness, strewed with broken vessels and whitening skeletons. And Kaikeyi of infamous memory will hold sway over her capital in all its funeral pomp and glory. Our Ayodhya goes with Rama, and our forest extends over where he is not. Birds and beasts from the forest depths and mountain lair, the cruel tiger, the timid hare, the lion and the elephant will quit their ancient horns. They will yield the pathless wilds to us to range and take this God-forsaken city in exchange. The carnivorous tiger, the busy crow, the feeds on fruit and offal, the spotted deer, the bleating lamb, and the lowing kine that know no guiltier food than emerald grass will walk fearlessly through the deserted squares and the crumbling halls and the shattered terraces. And Kaikeyi, with her precious son, is welcomed to rule in state and glory over the decaying town. Ours be the happy lot to raise the green woods in peace and comfort. Rama heard them all, but without the least suspicion of annoyance or sorrow. With a lordly gait, as of some maddened elephant, he walked on to the palace of his father, the rose to the sky, like the Kailasa peak. He took his way through the veteran guards at every gate and came upon Sumantra, sunk in the depths of hopeless despair and grief. Rama, the fountain of ineffable bliss, said to him with a smile, "Friend Sumantra, may I request you to announce our presence here to His Majesty?" Resolved to exile himself to the dark forest that his father's promise might be well kept, he stood there with Sita and Lakshmana to take leave of their father, King Dashratha. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.